We need to talk.
We do need to talk. Graham Beasley out of Wellington, the Sports Free website, and Andrew Saville joining us just in a second. Up to down to Graham. You were there at the Basin. Did it get any better in Christchurch or not?
Oh, marginally. I mean, I suppose it was the McCallum innings, which was a bit of a differentiator. But apart from that, no, it was the same kind of issues. I mean, I think we were pretty much equally outplayed with bat and ball. You know, I mean, it would be good if our bowlers could get the reverse swing that the Australians were able to. Obviously, there was a difference at the spinner. You know, Australia had a spinner, we didn't. And in the batting, they just showed more discipline in terms of how to play Test cricket.
And how disappointing is that, or was that? Were our expectations raised unrealistically high?
With the benefit of hindsight, possibly. I think where we misread it in the build-up was there's never a bad Australian cricket side.
Yeah.
And sure, they were missing Stark, but then we were missing players too. But that Australian batting lineup, you just look at their stats. They're all averaging 50 and over, apart from Mitch Marsh.
Look, Jeremy Coney came in with some amazing figures, actually, in off the long run-up just after 10 o'clock, Graham, and a couple of them involved the amount of balls that our guys face compared to theirs. Yeah. Trent Bolt, for example, 97 balls for every wicket, 126 for Southie. I think that was the bowling. As far as the batting goes, but he went through, like, Guptill faced 57 balls across the whole series. I can't remember it was exactly that, but then he racked up the Australians and it was 300, 400,
yeah.
500.
Yeah, I mean, obviously Guptill had his troubles, so did Nichols, but even the guys that got in, I mean, I get frustrated with Tom Latham. I think he's a good player, definitely worth persevering with, and a player of the future, but he does kind of have that knack of getting to 30-odd and then doing something a little bit silly. And the Australians just didn't do that, did they?
Well, what is the answer? I'm not so sure. I know... Okay, is Andrew on, is he? Andrew, g'day, how are you?
Hi, Matt, how are you?
Yeah, good. I want to talk to you about this Duco thing in just a second. We're just talking to Graham, though, and just about the disappointment, and which is palpable, isn't it? And it's not... Look, I tell you what I like about it. People aren't really sticking the horn in or kicking it, you know, like they do the All Blacks when the All Blacks lose. The disappointment, I feel, is almost internal or personal, Andrew, in that I expected too much. Did I expect too much? Why did I expect too much?
Yeah, I think, Martin, the first thing is you've got to remember that Australia is the number one... I think number one cricketing nation, not just Test cricketing nation. The rankings might not suggest that in the shorter form, but they continually churn out some very, very good players. However, I, like you, I think pre-tour thought, especially the Aussie bowlers, would be vulnerable. But they totally proved us wrong and bowled very, very well in those two Test matches. I think then you look at the New Zealand side of things, and the bowlers, who we expected more of, were disappointing, and some of the batsmen were disappointing. So... yes, very disappointing, but at the same time, you've got to remember this Aussie team is very, very good.
So, Graham, where do we put ourselves now then? Because we've had some great series draws away from home and that, but we've just been absolutely belted by these guys and certainly put in our place. Are we number six? Do we deserve to be higher than that?
Oh, I think we're a mid-table team. I mean, yeah, I've heard you in the past describe the New Zealand cricket team as the Europa League side, and I think actually that's probably quite a fair description.
The Manchester United of cricket.
Oh, that's just, here we go.
Yeah, just going sideways, really, aren't we? You know, we should not forget that we have just spent 4 years undefeated in a test at home. So, you know, so we aren't a dreadful side. And, you know, people saying that we've totally lost the plot with Test cricket and all that sort of stuff. That's not true. We've just found out at that top level, like a good wallaby side when it comes up against the All Blacks, that it's not, you know, it's not the best in the world.
Good, actually.
And I think, Mark, you've got to remember... But cricket being cricket, two or three decisive moments can affect the game, if not decide a game. And certainly not looking for excuses, but you know, the Adam Voges thing in Wellington, a couple of other decisions or
outcomes
that could have gone either way in Christchurch. And that's cricket. Cricket, you must remember, as a batsman especially, you get one chance. And in a split millisecond, if you make a wrong decision, you're gone, you don't get another chance. So I think you've got to take that into consideration as well. But, again, this Australian team is very good.
The other thing, Graham, is to win a test match, you need, what, four or five of your guys to stump up all at once, don't you? And that is something that they were able to do and we couldn't do, you know, even right across, you know, the five tests that we played against. And we got pretty close in Adelaide, and that kind of, I suppose, led me down the path of thinking, heck, we almost snatched a one-all draw away from home. You know, we should beat them at home.
We also competed with them in Perth, although that test would have had to go for 10 days for that to be a result there. Yeah, but it is disappointing in that it was around the park. You know, both bowlers, batsmen, you can't just have a go at one area and say that's why we lost it. And as Sam said, we didn't get the rub of the green. And, you know, if you're the weaker side, you kind of need that rub of the green to make it a contest.
The other thing, Andrew, is that, you know, it wasn't just bowling and batting for them. Their fielding was amazing. I mean, how many catches did they put down? None?
I can't remember. Maybe one. I think there was one silly half.
I mean, but some of the catching was just spectacular from them. And us.
Yeah, also, let's not forget the toss. If McCallum had won those two tosses, it could have been a bit could. I'm saying could have been a different story as well. But again, that is cricket. That is test cricket. And that's why we still love some of those enthralling days. And let's not forget a few of those days out of the 9 or 10 days of this Australian series were enthralling.
All right, well, maybe we should employ a professional tosser, and I'd like to put my hand up.
We need to talk.
Finally, your vacation.
You've got a long, lengthy CV.
Stump mic on or not, Graham?
Oh, yes. And if it can stop people doing that, what Hazelwood did the other day, then it's good.
I mean,
what are we going to do next? We're going to turn the cameras off if they focus on somebody so we can't lip read them doing an F-bomb.
Yeah, good point, actually. Look, I mean, to me, it just gets the vileness out of it. You know, it's not, does it? Look, if you're not the kind of person that F-sees and abuses, Andrew, you've got nothing to fear, have you?
That's right. And this is high-level sport, and sportsmen and women sometimes get frustrated and it boils over. That's the fact of life. I think the stump mic should even be improved. I think they should be more sensitive. Because as we saw in the Indian series between Faulkner and Virat Kohli, it was very entertaining.
And it's always good to hear David Warner telling someone they should speak English.
Hey, lay off the Warnermeister, okay? I'm not only with him. I've actually decided I've declared my love for Kyrgios.
What?
Okay.
What? That was a nice touch from Warner. As soon as he took that blinder against McCallum, he ran across him and shook his hand. That was quite a nice.
He's changed, mate. I actually think he has. I think you've got to cut him some slack. Actually, you know, the guy that was spitting speak English a couple of years ago isn't the guy, it seems, that we're looking at right now.
We need to talk.
Okay.
Well, he's got two kids now, Martin. You get a couple more and then you just sit in the corner and curl up in a ball and shake.
Yeah, impossible, Andrew. I'm up the back paddock. You know that. But what I do want to talk about is...
Let's go.
Come on, boys. He's telling me.
No, you know, I was thinking about this yesterday, again, listening to you super bang bang on about it. And I'm thinking the marketing team at NZRU must be laughing all the way to the bank because you've given them free publicity for about 3 or 4 weeks now, every second of your show.
Mate, I tell you, I'm bopping it. I've got the whole office doing it. You walk in, we've got people texting
you
us from...
We've it's got just pe- you.
We've got people texting us from building sites saying they can't get it out of their head now. I'm trying to get a posse of 5 journos together and put a little clip together to go on YouTube. Bang, bang, da-da-ba-ba.
I had to drive from work to... Duco Events, where I am now, for this boxing announcement, and I was singing it in the car.
ooh, that is a worry, isn't it? We're going to be mighty sick of this by the end of the season, aren't we?
Hey, Graham, it's not for, as Hayden explains, it's not for us, guys. We've already been hooked. It's for people that don't watch it at the moment.
Yeah, I know. I think your duty, though, is to find out who came up with it and get them in the studio and interview them.
And actually say, right, who actually approved this?
What was the process? Who did you get involved? Their parents would probably have to drop them off at the studio.
Well, I was just going to say, the focus group was the under-13 side, wasn't it?
Yeah, I think so. Boy, bang, bang, eh?
Finally, boys.
We need to talk.
Spurs to lose.
No, don't
come
start.
On, son, eh? I tell you what, Nisbo won't return a text now. If you text him and go, Spurs to lose, it's yours to lose. Shh, 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 is all you get back.
Do you know what's worse, Sam?
I was talking to one of the Arsenal fans in the office the other day, and it wasn't Harcourt from Fair Go, but another bloke, and he said, oh, this could be your year. And I said, shut up.
that's rich coming from them. But the concerning thing is, I'm pretty sure I'm right on this, is that this time next week, Spurs will have just finished playing Arsenal.
Oh, that's magnificent. Is that in a make-up Premier League game, is it?
In the league. No, I'm pretty sure there's a round.
Ooh.
There's a round midweek next week. It's sort of a catch-up thing. I might be wrong on that, mate, next weekend, but... I've got a feeling this time next week that game will have finished about a quarter of an hour ago.
Okay, finally, boys, one last question.
We need to talk.
How do you pronounce, and do it one at a time, you first, Graham, how do you pronounce the Argentinian super rugby side?
Well, no, I don't pronounce it like that. They're the Jaguars. And the same as the football team's Barcelona. It's not Hakuana or whatever.
Okay, Andrew?
It's Jaguares.
Oh, no. I just got a text from Marto. He said, here in Australia, mate, we say Jaguars.
Yeah, good on Marto. Yeah.
So do it again, Andrew. What's that?
Jaguares.
No, it's